And I love to talk to young people. And probably everybody in here is younger than me, so that's all of you. There's some good news about the Middle East. You don't hear much good news about the Middle East probably on the news. The good news is this. More Jews have turned to Jesus in the last 20 years than in the last 2,000 years. Hallelujah. More Muslims have turned to Jesus in the last 20 years than the previous 1,400 years. There are at least 1 million the secret believers in Iran. Pray for Iran. Pray for a Christian revolution. They're sick of Islam. We were on a television show in Dallas last week, and we spoke to, they say, 7 million Iranians preaching the gospel to them. People call in by Skype on the television show and are accepting the Lord. So God's moving all over the Middle East, and this is a generation like none other because God is fulfilling the ancient prophecies that the prophets prophesied about. Hallelujah. Now you wonder, well, how did we get there? What are we doing there? Well, I was an actor in New York City many years ago before most of you were born. And I was in a Broadway play one night and people were shouting bravo and all of that. And I went home to my apartment and I thought, this thought came to me, my life doesn't mean anything. And I started to cry. And I had everything I thought I wanted. So I went out to try to find God in New York City. An actor friend of mine who was a born-again Christian took me to a fellowship that met in a recording studio. Actors, dancers, singers, models, people like that. My kind of people. And I walked in. They were worshiping Jesus. And all of a sudden, I couldn't stand up. I didn't know what was happening to me. I fell on my knees. And I started to weep. Everybody else there was just singing. And I'm down on my knees weeping. And I met Jesus. He's all light. And I was dirty. And I knew it. I was lost. He forgave my sins when I opened my heart. And it was like a huge weight was lifted off of me. And I was free. I was new. I had become a new creation in Christ. Everything in my life changed. I ran through the streets of New York, not to get the next role in a Broadway show, but to get to the Bible studies. I was so hungry for the word. I finally had found the truth. I have a doctor of philosophy. I read all the philosophers, and all of them were confused, which confused me. But now I had met the way, the truth, and the life. Hallelujah. Each one of you needs to have a deep personal relationship with Jesus and spend time with him and walk with him. You begin to hear his voice. I began to read the Bible and learn how to hear the voice of the Lord. The Lord did wonderful things in me. And on the worship team in this multicultural revival, you could call it, on Broadway in this recording studio, was a young lady. Where'd she go? Are you into the preacher rapture here? Where is she? This young lady was there. We fell in love. We got married, and she's a Jew. And I'm not a Jew. I had already been to Israel, and God had done a tremendous work in my heart about what was happening in Israel. I didn't understand it. I would just weep in the Holy Land. I would see all these Jews had come back. A prophecy was being fulfilled. Jews were turning to the Lord. Arabs were turning to the Lord. And now I'm married to a Jewish woman. And what became our life's verses, as was mentioned earlier today, is Ephesians chapter 2. And I'd like to just read a couple of verses. Ephesians chapter 2. This is Paul the Apostle writing a letter to Jews and Gentiles in the church at Ephesus that he had founded. And that church had turned that whole part of Asia upside down. There was a huge revival that impacted all of that part of Asia. They changed the atmosphere of this ungodly, idolatrous city, Ephesus. So he's writing, he's in prison, and he's writing back to the Jews and Gentiles in the church at Ephesus. And he says, verse 13, but now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off, meaning the Gentiles, have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made both one and has broken down the middle wall of separation, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, to create in himself one new man from the two, thereby making peace. The one new man that Paul got the vision and wrote it back to the Ephesian church, this was the original purpose of the first century church. It was Jews and Gentiles together. You can go through the book of Acts, you can go through the epistles, and you will see Paul went into the synagogue. Some Jews believed, some didn't. Then he would go to the Gentiles. So this church was Jews, Greeks, and Romans. And there were obviously some cultural problems. So he gets this amazing declaration from the Lord that the church is supposed to be Jews and Gentiles together. And you can see, if you study Ephesians 2 and Ephesians 3, you can go on and say, see, in verse 11, it's eternal purpose which he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord. This is 3:11. This was the eternal purpose. Before the beginning of the world, Jesus saw, God saw, that he would reveal himself to the Jews, they would give the revelation to the Gentiles, and they would become one. And there was revival everywhere this happened. Now, what happened? What happened to the Jews? So as we were into this, I started working with David Wilkerson. I got ordained a minister of the gospel in a Broadway theater, which is Times Square Church. Hallelujah. And we were sent out. We were the first sent out from Times Square Church 23 years ago. And David Wilkerson prophesied or prayed over us and proclaimed over us that Davises are going to Israel because the gospel is to the Jew first. And then we're sending people all over the world. And we will stand with God's purposes for Israel, because those who bless Israel will be blessed, and those who curse Israel will be cursed. That's what he said. Part of one of the foundations of that church. We were back there 2 weeks ago for the 25th anniversary of Times Square Church and a missions conference. We were the first, and now there's missionaries all over the world. But it was always to be Jew and Gentile together. So what happened? How come the church is mostly Gentiles? And what happened to the Jews? Where are they? Well, when you study the history, when you get to the 3rd century and Constantine made Christianity the state religion of Rome and the Holy Roman Empire and so on, the Bible was no longer central. The Bible needs to be central. The Word of God needs to be the center of the church. Jesus needs to be the center of the church. But men's ideas and men's church fathers were bringing in all kinds of traditions and adding rituals that aren't in the Bible and that kind of thing. And the power of the Holy Spirit that was released in the first and second century started to die. Then they started putting the Jews out of the church and writing terrible things about the Jews. Even the greatest of the church fathers, John Chrysostom, you can Google it and read what he said. He said, I hate the Jews. He was the greatest preacher of his day. And he said all Christians should too. So the Christians who were coming into the kingdom of God, they didn't have the Bible. They didn't have the New Testament. They listened to what the fathers said, what the priests and what the other people said. And the Jews were just cut off. And then it became terrible persecution for centuries by so-called Christians. So the one new man died almost. There's always a remnant of people underneath that loved the Jews and cared about the Jews and Jews and Gentiles together. You can go through church history and find these. I have a wonderful book called The Torch of the Testimony that traces all of this. So all of this was lost in the power of the Holy Spirit. But now, in the last days, for instance, even in the Holocaust, those Nazi guards were baptized Christians. Lutherans, some of them, not just Catholics. And on Christmas Eve in one of the camps, the snow was falling, the Jews were freezing, they were putting the women into the gas chambers, the Nazis were in their barracks over there with their Christmas tree, the Jewish women were singing as they died, Shema Yisrael, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad, Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God is one, the Lord is one God. What do they hear in the barracks? Silent night, holy night. The Jews know all this. That's why it's so hard for a Christian to minister to a Jew. Praise the Lord. 15,000 have come to the Lord in Israel. 100,000 came to the Lord in the former Soviet Union in the 1990s. Now Jews are getting saved all over the world. Praise the Lord. It's a sign of the end times, the restoration of Israel. They're coming back in unbelief. The Holy Spirit's being poured out on them. It's all through the scriptures. He who scattered Israel will gather. And we're part of this. And so are you. Because you're supposed to be praying for the peace of Jerusalem. Hallelujah. Now, these things are happening today. And you need to be a part of what God is doing in the world. Now, listen to me. The only way it will happen. God has a problem with people who are lukewarm toward him. You need to be set on fire. You need the fire of his compassion, the fire of his love, the fire of his holiness. I love what's written up here behind me, probably from John Wesley. He was one of my great heroes. He turned the American colonies upside down, preaching the gospel on a horse. And you, this is your legacy. You have got to be set on fire for God so that you can move into the purpose. He has to be first place in everything. Did you read your Bible this morning? Did you get a word from the Lord this morning? I wouldn't dare leave the house. How many of you really want to be set on fire? Raise your hand. Okay, I'm going to ask all of you to raise your hands to come down here very quickly. Just get out of your seats. Let's all stand. Karen, you come. We only have a couple minutes here, but God can do a lot in a couple. Come on, just dedicate yourself to the Lord. Reaffirm your covenant with him. If you don't really know him, just come up here and say, Lord, I want to know you the way I got to know him in New York City. Jesus is everything. He needs to be the preeminent one, first place in everything. He's the bridegroom who's coming for his Jewish Gentile bride without spot or wrinkle. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. We praise you, Jesus. We give you glory. We magnify you. I ask you, Lord, you'll touch every person in this place. Open your hearts to the Lord. Just close your eyes. Open your hearts to Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Jesus, I thank you that you came and got me in New York City. I thank you for what you're doing all over the Islamic world, what you're doing in Israel, what you're doing in the nations. But Lord, here are these young people in a place with a rich history, and they need to know you in a deeper, deeper way. The call is on you. No other generation has seen the restoration of Israel. It's us. It's you. The prophet saw it from a distance. The 19th century Christians prophesied, they knew it was going to happen, but here we are. Which means when the Jews turn to Jesus, he's coming back, so the time is short. Now, if you want to raise your hands, you're welcome to do that, but raise your hearts to the Lord. Let's pray this prayer together. Lord Jesus, can you speak it out? Lord Jesus, is he your Lord? Is he really the Lord of your emotions, your feelings? He wants to sanctify you and transform you and change you. He can deliver you from pornography or sin or anything that might be coming against you. Lord Jesus, I want to walk with you. Set me on fire. Set me free from the entanglements of the world. I turn my eyes to you today. And from now on, you will be first place in my heart. I want to be your bride. Sanctify me by your word, by your blood, and by your Holy Spirit. We pray this prayer, Father, in Jesus' wonderful name. We're on fire for you, Lord. Lord, use this class of people. Use these people, Lord. Lord, what a privilege for them to be here. Lord, do something deep, profound, and everlasting in them, I pray. Jesus talked about 10 virgins. 5 of them ran out of oil. You don't want to run out of oil. You don't want to be foolish virgins. You want to be wise virgins, getting more of God every day. That God can use you for his purposes in this day, in your generation. You can reach your generation. I can. The Lord bless you and keep you. Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his shalom, his peace, in the name of Sar Shalom, the Prince of Peace, Jesus the Messiah. Hallelujah. Chaplain, where are you?
Greg.
I don't know where we go from here. I'll give you the mic. I guess we go to class.
You've heard the word from Pastor David, and you've received a benediction from him. Let's close as we typically close. There remains a spirit of worship and sensitivity to where God is at work, and you also are dismissed. Go in peace.